may gain. I care not how hot is the fire, though dark be the way and though stormy the day, the Christ is the prize I desire. I've counted the cost, yes, I've counted the cost. Loss of all earth winning gain. The cross will I bear and his sorrow will share, that jointly with him I may reign. My heart is aglow with a vehement flame to win the beloved. I must pay, though pleasure it costs and all Egypt is lost, I'll go every step of the way. For thus would I know him, his suffering now be found in his fullness as mine. In fellowship deep the good harvest to reap, united in wedlock divine. My heart is aglow with a vehement flame to win the beloved as mine. All else I forego to be called by his name, united divine.
Well, I love that song and I love that arrangement too. Praise God. Rejoice that God has given us those who have such ability, and thankful for that which we can indeed enjoy. Let's turn this afternoon for just a little while to the 28th chapter of Job. Job 28, verse 1. Surely there is a vein where the silver and a place for gold where they find it. And I want to speak for a little while on the little word surely. And it seems to indicate, signifies that which is without doubt or other recourse or avenue. In other words, we could say that which is guaranteed or that which is assured. I want to notice several verses which bring this out. We're not going to turn to all of them, but the first thing I want to see, when Job says, surely there is a vein for the silver, a place where the gold, where they find it, or where they refine it. The truth is that Job actually already knew that. He also knew this fact in regard to his own life. If you'll look at Job 23:8. He says this. Now keep in mind that this he had uttered this before we come to chapter 28. So in Job 23:8 we read, behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hides himself on the right hand, I cannot see him. Verse 10. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And so Job did know the place of gold where they find it, or refine it. It's in the very hand, the very way of God. And so This would simply mean that Job had indeed refined, or that God had refined Job. I have always loved that verse 10, he knows the way that I take. The reason he knows the way that I take is because he chose it for me. And so this is the path that God chose in order for Job to walk down. And then, as we read here, this is where God's path took him. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. It would indeed be the refined gold, the purified gold. And as we know, that simply means the expression or the manifestation of the life of Christ within my own life. This is what God intends for all men, and Job found that to be true, and we can surely find it in our own experience. We'll not turn to this one. I'm going to list a number of surelys down here. The rest of these are found in the Psalms. If you go to the Psalms, I think there's just a whole host of surelys in there, and they all mean the same thing. It is the assurance of God, the assurance that they are going to come to pass. We all remember this one, Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, he is again speaking of the fact there is no doubt about this fact that goodness and mercy shall follow me. It's a guarantee in our lives. And then, of course, also the guarantee, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It is so comforting, so gratifying, so satisfying to have this assurance in our lives. And indeed, we can and we do have such assurance. Let's turn to this next one, Psalm 32:6. Psalm 32:6. For this shall everyone that is godly pray. And this is, we take prayer requests, but sometimes there are things that God intends that we should pray specifically for. Well, here seems to be one of them. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not deny unto him. And so this is the assurity that the waters of destruction will not be permitted or allowed to come. And that's absolutely right. We know that God allows, even brings forth many waters of adversity, but not waters of destruction. He does not intend his people to be destroyed. And so as David says here, surely in the floods of great waters, they will not come nigh thee. Those floods again that would just so surely destroy, they cannot come. Turn to another one in Psalm 76. This is another one that I love today. It's amazing to me when we read this. We see all of the ungodliness and the wrath and the tremendous adversity that men have toward God today, the rebellion that they display toward him. Notice what we find here in Psalm 76:10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And that's almost unbelievable, but this is what the Word of God says. Even the wrath of men shall praise him. And it is amazing how God brings that to pass. But surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. And so there is a certain part of that wrath that is indeed going to praise him. And the rest of that, that which would destroy and all of that, be in a negative sense. Notice he says here, the remainder of that wrath you're going to restrain. Verse 11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Let all that be around about him bring presents unto him that ought to be feared. That is, men indeed ought to fear the Lord. Verse 12, he shall cut off the spirit of princes. He is terrible to the kings of the earth. This is a prophecy of Jesus' millennial reign, and it will surely come to pass. It is absolutely assured. There is no doubt that God is going to bring this to pass. Jesus has gone to the cross. We have seen that over and over again. He has literally purchased. He has bought the right to reign over this earth, and that for 1,000 years as God. And so surely that is going to come to pass. Indeed, it is assured. And so it is guaranteed that this is going to come, that he is going to occupy that place. You need not turn to this one, but it's rather interesting. It's, if you want to make a reference to it, it's Psalm 77:11. And so, I will remember the works of the Lord. This is something that Israel apparently didn't do, but David says, I'm going to remember those works of the Lord. Then again, he uses this term, surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And it is so important that it was important for Israel to remember those works of old, because find out that was really the guarantee that he was going to continue to bless Israel and to pour out his wonders upon them. Well, David took that in a personal way, and he said, surely I will remember thy wonders of old. And notice, I'll meditate also all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God, thou doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. And so here's a man that did indeed remember those works and who God was, what he could do, the majestic and wonderful things. And he did perform wonders before them. David said, I simply am not going to forget that. I'm going to remember all of those wonders of old. Turn now to the Psalm 85. Psalm 85. This is another one of those guarantees, and I say the assurances, it just cannot be any other way. It is going to come to pass, and it is a glorious promise unto us. Surely his salvation, that is, it's guaranteed, it is absolutely assured, his salvation or his deliverance is nigh them that fear him. We have seen again and again to fear him doesn't mean that you stand afraid of him. It means you reverence him, you bow before him, submit ourselves unto him. Well, to that kind of person, for that kind of heart, it is guaranteed that his salvation or his deliverance is nigh them. And as we have also seen, that salvation doesn't just mean salvation in body or salvation from a particular difficulty. It is deliverance, spirit, soul, and body. And so the guarantee is his deliverance or his salvation, it is nigh them. It's close to them that fear him or that reverence him, that indeed that bow down before him. Notice that glory may dwell in our land. I want to notice the rest of this, these verses 9, 10, and 11, because they show to us the fullness of them will not come to pass until the millennium. But it is going to be there. There is the guarantee, there is the assurance that all of these things are going to prevail, especially in the millennium. Notice what we read here. Mercy and truth are met together. That indeed will come together there in the millennium. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. These will be the identifying signs, so to speak, of Christ's millennial reign, because it will be such a perfect and wonderful reign as he takes over all the reigns of government over heaven and earth during that thousand-year period as he reigns as God. This is again what God has promised to him. And surely, as we find here, it is without fail going to come to pass. Truth shall spring out of the earth, because Christ's reign is based on absolute truth. So truth shall spring out of the earth. That's where he's reigning, and he has dominion there over the earth. Righteousness shall look down from heaven. Again, he is ruling over both heaven and earth. And so surely all of these are going to prevail. It can't be in other way. It is indeed a guarantee that these things will, without doubt and without fail, come to pass. We're going to close with Philippians 1:6. This is the same truth, but it's just a little bit different terminology. But it tells us of the absolute same truth, the same assurance as surely. Philippians 1 and verse 6, being confident. And this should be so comforting to you and I. I'm sure that we all can look around at our own lives and realize that there are things that are just not quite right, not quite as they should be. If we're honest, it will be that way because, as Paul said in one place, not as though we're already perfect. And we must acknowledge that. We have to acknowledge that. I know there are some people who say, we're in the bride of Christ right now. No, we're not. The bride of Christ has not emerged yet. And so we are not in the bride of Christ. We follow after. We pursue. We lay hold of that which he has apprehended us for, as we find there in Philippians. But here we read these wonderful words, being confident of this very thing. And here is the guarantee that we have. Here is the assurance, the surely that we have. Being confident or assuredly of this very thing. Here it is. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And it will not be complete until the day of Jesus Christ. I am persuaded that once we are absolutely complete and perfect, we'll be taken out of this world. Why would he stay? Why would we need to stay here? But as for right now, these are the words that we are to claim, and indeed we are to choose that confidence, that surely in our own lives, he which hath begun a good work. That should be a great comfort to us. We don't have to work in our own lives. We don't have to decide what should be done, what needs to be done, what needs to be developed. This is God's business. And so he, we are confident, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, even as it is meet, or it is fit, it is proper for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. And so this same truth surely is just in a little bit different word, but you notice the confidence that the Apostle Paul had for himself and also for these people, even as he says, I have you in my heart, inasmuch in my bonds, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. It means the same grace that he had obtained, as we had in the message this morning. We lay hold of that grace for ourselves, and then we manifest or show it, we're stewards of it to other people. Paul had followed that same pattern, and these people indeed had received as such grace. And so we are confident that the work which God has started, he is going to complete. All right, shall we sing?